Hello, lovers and friends, and happy pre-Valentine's Day, and welcome back to another episode of the Romantically Lit podcast featuring two undercover hopeless romantics who kiki as they review different Black romance novels from across the diaspora. It's your girl, Hana.
And I'm Odelia, and by the time you're listening to this, it will have been a week since Valentine's Day, so hope you had a good Valentine's Day.
Yeah, every day is Valentine's Day, so it's great here. And on this episode, we summarize a brand new Black romance novel. Today, we are going to be reading the first half of this book. It is The Neighbor Favor by Christina Forrest. I'm not going to lie to y'all. We read this book a couple weeks back. We're just getting to the review right now. But hey, what is time? It's all made up. Anywho, like I said, we're going to go through the first half of the book, which we're super excited. And as you're listening, head on over to your favorite audio streaming platform and listen to other equally romantic books we reviewed in the past. And so this year we started off with a YA by Janie Garrow that was With Love, Miss Americana. And then we started reading some indie authors as well. So we have Thomas Bailey in there. We have Mary C. Kim in there. And then we also read... That's it.
When I Think of You by Maya Ariel.
I Think of You and Maya Ariel is our recent one that we just wrapped up this week or last week. I can't remember, y'all. Again, made up time. Anywho, we loved all the books and we all had very strong opinions about some of them. But, you know, that's what reviews are for. Don't worry. Anywho, as always, in this love shack of ours that we call our Leco podcast, we embrace all different types of love tropes. And I know for a fact we reviewed something just for you. And on that note, let's get into it.
Welcome, welcome back, as my very rude and shady co-host stated.
The thing is that they don't know what I've said prior to you jumping.
Now a girl can't cough without somebody saying she always coughing. It's cold in these parts. My throat is cold. Okay, do you know what my day looked like? I woke up, I shoveled snow for like 2 hours, bro. Okay. Guys, don't move here. Don't. If you've ever thought, let me come to Canada, don't. Don't. Just don't.
I mean, there's some places where they have more snow.
It's cold. It's expensive. The people are rude like Hana.
No problem.
It's lovely in the summertime, though. Come through in the summer. Summer is like a different world.
But you still... It's still expensive.
Yeah, but the way the vibe in the summertime, that's why I'm coughing. Excuse me. The vibe in the summertime makes you think less about the fact that it's cold,
right?
Or that it's expensive, rather. But to more important things, we are reading The Neighbor Favor by Christina Forrest, and so far this year, this is my favorite read. I'm just going to come out and say it. Like, I think I said last episode, if you got to the end, this is a 10 out of 10 for me. I know we're supposed to wait till the end, but let's just get into it. Anyways, so we meet our two characters. Actually, we meet our first character. We read the second book of this series last season. As Hana likes to say, some of us were confused.
It wasn't me, though.
So we ended up reading the second one, and it was a good read, but this one is better. So we're following the Green Sisters, and Love Lyric just came out. I need to go get that book. Ooh, tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Is it not snowing tomorrow?
It's going to be worse. On Saturday.
Okay.
I'm hoping to leave work early tomorrow so I can have it for me on the plane.
All right.
I want you to be mine again.
You know, the weather is so treacherous here, so just be careful, man. Like,
You don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell me. Trust me. I don't even know why I went to work today. But anyways, so we meet in the second book we read, we follow the story of Violet Green and her man, Xavier Wright. Very cutesy. Now we get to meet her sister. You guys remember, like, she talked about her sister who lived down the hall with her. She lived down the hall. Her sister's boyfriend lived across the hall from her. She made mention of it. And that sister is the lovely Lily Green, and she is a publishing editor. I guess we can call her an editing assistant at the time, but she wants to go into children's publication because children's fantasy, to be specific. Great stories there, and she's kind of like the one who feels like she's not as accomplished as her sisters. I mean, her one sister is a celebrity stylist. Her other sister is like the head of, like, I don't remember what she does. What does Iris do?
She's like the head of, like, accounting, marketing department.
Something very serious.
Like, she's like the director, the VP, the SVP. She's someone you're supposed to report to.
And she's always been really smart. She went to business school, you know. So, with that being said, she's always felt like she's behind. And because her career is not advancing as quickly as her sisters were at her age, she's 27. Her mom is always like, grad school, law school, some school, like something to make you, you know,
something to give you sustainable income, because right now Lily Green is really, she's really trying to grasp this capitalism. I'm sorry, girls, it's beating you down. So that's how she ends up living with her sister for the time being, because she used to live with roommates. And she said, none of that. None of that. So she sleeps on her sister's couch. And because, like Adila said, her other sister, like, she's bicoastal. She goes from LA to, like, New York and back and forth and around the world. So she's barely there. So it makes sense for Lily to be napping on the couch with her cat, as her sister's doing, you know, fashion designer things. Or what do you call them?
Stylist.
Right. So how the book opens up, it opens up with, I feel like the first, like, 60, 80, or 100 pages, it's this email correspondence between Lily and this man, this mystery man.
So
who? No, go ahead, Odilia.
No, I'm going to say that's what we're mostly going to talk about, but I loved it so much. But go on, sorry.
So it starts off with her. So she's a huge, huge fan of this sci-fi fantasy writer. Okay,
she's N.R. Stuck in the Strickland.
Yes, she's stuck in the subway. It's hot. It's the summer heat is beating her down, and she said, "You know what? Like, let me, like, I love this book. It's like my comfort book. Let me see if I can get, you know, a hold of this person." She goes to the website. She's like, "Oh my god, he has an email. Okay, let me go to the info email." You know, I've done that before. I know it's going to end up in the abyss. Like, no one's going to get back to you. Surprise, surprise.
You know what, though? Since we started doing this Lico podcast, I will say authors, the book community is very kind. The authors are for the most part, very willing to see your fan art, hear your reviews, what you want to know about the book. Like, they're very receptive. So I'll give them that. So I've never, prior to this, reached out to an author, though, to be like, hey, I liked your book. Like, what are, you know?
Yeah. Maybe it's different now because I feel like social media has changed how publications work. That's why bookstores are making record-breaking profits in the last couple of years compared to prior, because social media is pushing. It's because it's influencers pushing the narrative of which books are interesting or not. Amen. That's what Reese is doing these days too. Anywho, so she emails this guy, Reese Witherspoon.
Oh, I thought you meant like Reese's Pieces.
No. Like, contextually, you're not even with me.
That's why I was like, Reese's Pieces sells books?
When I'm talking about books, I'm talking about Reese. Talking about Reese's book club.
Yeah,
the one where she's turning those books into movies and then she gets loyalty off them. I must say, that business model is one I've not heard of before, but good for her. I guess she's, you know, feeding
she's
off
She's really artists. Good at it. Little Fires Everywhere and Big Little Lies, all eight.
I feel like those are the only two that really, like,
I think there's been others, but we just don't tune in.
Oh, there's that one with, oh my god, Zoe Saldana, where she goes to Italy and she does a little...
Oh, was that Reese Witherspoon as well?
I think it was Reese Witherspoon as well, because it was based on a real...
Y'all like that one. I didn't watch it.
Oh, Netflix. They ate it. They never put it in their palms and they go, ang, 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 ang. That's all of you guys.
I didn't watch it. I heard that it's sad, and I was like, I don't believe, not that I don't believe, because we will read some tragic romances on here, but I'm very, like, anti-tragic, like, I need the people to
end up together.
Yeah, like, I just hate and seeing sadness. Die. Like, I really do. Like, life is already sad as is, like, you know, so I don't enjoy fiction that makes me sad as well, especially within romance. Like, I could take it in, like, literary fiction or, like, historical fiction or anything else, but, like, romance, I'm like, no, like, this is when I get real Hallmark with it. Like, I need an HEA. A little happily ever after. I watched
for other reasons. So, I didn't watch it for other reasons. So.
Oh, you didn't watch it because Zoe Saldana tried to play Nina Simone.
Get off of that shit, man.
She has a horrible filmography. Horrible filmography.
Sorry to Zoe Saldana. Actually, not sorry. I just don't really fancy her.
Me neither. Outside of Avatar and Marvel, like, her other projects just don't. Those. You did watch the Marvel movies. She's literally in, like, you've not seen Guardians of the Galaxy?
Who is she, the rat?
She's the one that, she's Thanos' daughter that he throws over the edge in Endgame.
The orphan?
Sure.
Damn. She's the orphan?
No, the green one, Gamora.
The orphan?
Fine.
Yeah, Gamora is the orphan.
Everybody in Guardians is an orphan.
So
Lily's sitting on the train, and we get to know that she likes this book, The Elves of Peridon.
Yes.
Written by N.R. Strickland, and then as Hannah said, she tries to write the author, and the first chapter ends, and we find out that she gets a ping back from said author. So this author is actually, he is not only an author, well, he's kind of given up on writing. He wrote the first book. The publishing house that he published it with went out of business. It was British. And he had written it when he was, like, in university. 21. Yeah. Which is very crazy. Very and it didn't go so well. So he took his writing degree, his English degree, and he is a travel journalist. So he writes for a magazine where he goes around, he meets people. He spends, like, 4 to 6 weeks with them and then writes a story about them, which I think is a really cool job. It's really, like, I think it's very, it's, the instability is present and the fact they don't pay him a lot, but I think that's a really cool job. So, color him surprised when he gets a ping from this website that his friend made him, his best friend who's in publishing, and somebody cares about this book that he's basically given up on. And she has, you know, questions, and she's wondering if he's going to write another one. And, you know, at the time, he had to sadly tell her there will not be another book as of right now. Publishing didn't come through. I wrote this at this age. And it kind of, like, it kind of causes conversation to flow. And again, like I said last week, this thing, like, it's so interesting, this communication through email. Like, I don't know.
I fucking love it. Let me tell you something. The day I set my eyes on Nora Ephron's movie, You Got Mail, I said, this is the type of shit I enjoy. And you know what? Because also based on, like, publishing as well, because she owns a small bookstore and his family's trying to build, like, the big box bookstores, like, you know, like
Barnes & Noble,
Waterstones, and yeah, that kind of stuff. I just love the You Got Mail type of, I don't know what you call this trope, but I love this type of You Got Mail thing. I love it.
It really can't exist anymore in the 2025 era.
Why not?
I mean, I guess this one kind of exists, but there's kind of like you have to be a certain kind of person to make it work. But it doesn't exist because we live in a world with dating apps and, like, you text fine shit.
Instead of long, and you see, that's why y'all can't spell either.
And you're not even spelling shit properly.
When you're sending emails, you have to, like, attune your mind. It's an email. So you have to, like, full sentence.
Like letter writing.
And I like that. But hey, man, I know some of y'all in the 2003, 2005, when you had those YouTube channels with your partners, you YouTube met on Yahoo Mail, yet. That kind of stuff. Good for y'all. People just DM nowadays.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, there's fine shit. Dylan was saying
fine shit. Can I just say that is such an off? Like, here's my thing. I won't say too much because if y'all claim it's, let me not say y'all claim, but if you guys say it's, you know, Ebonics or African American vernacular, fine, cool for you. I think it's genuinely insane to call someone who you find, like, attracted, like, your person, fine shit. Like, huh?
What? That's your yum. Enjoy your yum. I'm yucking yum. It. Yeah, it's my yuck for sure.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I hate using this word normalize, but I think we've normalized this colloquial way of speaking to the degree where I'm just like, it means nothing. People just say it.
It's like a lack of care for the other person.
You know, and people are going to be like, oh, well, that's just how I speak. I don't think so. I think you're trying to emulate something. Like, I don't, like, the nonchalant. Like, that's the thing. We are in a crisis of nonchalance. And I think it's just it's another way of just masking feelings by throwing, like, the colloquial stuff. Do you know what I mean? I don't know what I'm trying to say, but, like.
Yeah, it's, like, seeping into everything. Because why would you call someone fine shit and not just call them my lover, babe, my person, you know, name. My boyfriend, my girlfriend. Or their name, it's like an almost like I don't really care about them kind of way, but they fine though. Like, you know, it's like Hannah said, it's very like nonchalant, very chalant, not chalant at all.
Yeah.
But as I've learned recently, not recently, but y'all will chalant for some people. So hopefully you're not chalanting and calling the ones you're chalanting from fine shit.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Anyway, so these two are writing letters, and she thinks she's talking to N.R. Strickland. And he's just surprised.
I'm gonna find out.
And their conversation is going, so she learns a lot about him. So he's quite honest from the beginning. He's like, well, now I'm a travel journalist. I do this. I'm actually in this country right now and I'm doing this. And she's like, oh, I work here and I do this. I'm a publishing assistant and my family, they don't respect what I do. And like, I'm struggling. I'm just trying to get up in the world. And that my sisters keep, you know, setting me up on these dates that don't work. And I'm tired of it. And this is a picture of my cat, Tomcat. And we find out that N.R. Strickland doesn't.
He hates cats.
He hates cats. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. And at one point he's commenting on her feet. And then he's like, not to be weird. It's just that I saw your foot and you have a tattoo. And she's explaining how each of her sisters have a flower tattoo. And, of course, Lily has the lily. And then what I thought was really trippy is them being like, I think at one point he was like, well, I don't celebrate Thanksgiving or any holidays. I never have time to go home. And my family life is not very stable to begin with. And he was like, well, if I had to take you on a date, and he, like, describes, like, this perfect date, this, like, you know, where did he say he wanted to take her? Somewhere, whatever country he was in. Where was he?
Yeah, I forgot. He was, like, somewhere in Eastern Europe or some
yeah,
sort.
Yeah, like, yes.
And it's basically a place where they both don't speak the language, and just, like, it'll be New Year's, and, like, there'll be fireworks, and everyone's celebrating, but, you know, we're just in our little corner. You know, giggling and just, you know, have this bubble of ourselves. And then I will, you know, look at you, you look at me, I'll lean close and I'll kiss you. And like, I think it started getting really deep. And then I love how like the email correspondence, sometimes you can look at the timestamps, like after like 10 minutes, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to say that. Like
yeah.
They're overthinkers, both of them. And so when he said that he would lean closer and kiss her, he's just like 11 minutes, I think like 10 minutes later, he's just like, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm drinking too much, you know, apologies, forgive me. She's like, no, like, you know, I love it. And I think she said that if you were here, I would go on a kind of stroll around Central Park and we'll do all kinds of things. Like, it's just really cutesy, y'all. Just really cutesy.
Mind you, at this point, they've not seen each other at all. And I think,
listen,
of the time, right? Like this, like, you know, I think in the modern era, like, it's so possible to fall in love with this person that you're communicating with so often, and you're like, oh, yeah, we have so much in common, and like, whew, sorry guys, but
yeah. Yes. And then it reaches a point in their, you know, little romance, like it's budding romance, where she's like, well, I think it's time for us to have a video call. I was going to say FaceTime, but then was like Skype of some sorts. Remember Skype? Anyway, let's have a video call. And he's just like, yeah, I'm down. Like, I'd really love to see you. And so when it's leading up to the day they're supposed to have it, she logs in. She's super excited. And she's waiting and waiting. And he doesn't show up. And she's just like, hello, where are you? And then I think he emails her like a day or 24 hours later saying, hey, like, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm sorry I'm doing this, but we can't meet. I'm not who you think I am. And that throws her off because she just like, especially like in a world where you're doing stuff online, you just don't know who you're talking to. Your catfish. That's what you get for calling me the fat Kelly Price. You know what I mean? Like, y'all don't know what you're getting when you're doing online.
No, that show is so sinister because she had that, she was catfishing her cousin for years, all because her cousin said she would look like a fat ass Kelly Price. Do you know how evil you have to be?
Very evil. Like, how do you sustain? I mean, every day you're logging into your computer and you're pretending to be someone else, knowing that's your cousin that you're tricking. No. You're a troll. You have to go to jail for that. But that's one of the most iconic episodes because I was cracking up. I couldn't believe it. Even the camera guy, I forgot what his name is. The host of Catfish.
Nev? Like messy...
Yeah.
He or Max. Like...
They're both like, what in the world?
No, Catfish would be so funny. Then my other favorite one is the one with, but when the person, they know each other. I love when they know each other and they're like, oh my God, like this person... And she was like, well, why would you do that? Why not? But why, though? Why not?
That's not even gaslighting. Like, you're evil. What do you mean, why not?
Like, oh, my days. Catfish is hilarious. And I think it's because of Nev. Like, Nev came up with that term, catfish.
Yeah. And it's true. Like, a lot of y'all are just doing all kinds of catfishing.
Yeah.
I think, like, the good thing with Lily in this case is just, like, okay, I didn't send any money. Sorry. I would have gone home and said, hey, a win's a win. Because if you are sending money while also having an attachment, then you look really dumb. Anyway.
No. Yeah, I would never do that. But, like, I know some of you are like... Guys, please, especially ladies, please don't send men no money. Like, please.
Oh, my God. There is a guy in Toronto. They're looking for him. Has the police found him? There's a man in Toronto who has managed to get $217,000 from different women.
Oh, yeah. Right? No, but they deserve.
Because he deserves the money?
No, they deserved what they got because I looked at what he looked like. And, like, at some point we have to, as a gender, come together and tell ourselves that we can't date this ugly.
Like, where is the girl with the list for this type of situation? Because we have to be careful. Even I was shocked when I saw, when I opened like the Toronto Star, I was like, oh, jump scare.
They said multiple love, like, theft. And I was like, as in multiple women
multiple.
Fell for this? And I looked at him, and I looked back at his crime, and I looked at him. I look back at his crime, and I said, wow, you deserved, like, every one of you deserved what happened to you.
But, you know, Julie, we're in an epidemic of loneliness, so I think some people are really,
I can never be that lonely.
Listen, me too. Never. If a man who looks that way, nah, I can do better.
If I'm lonely, I would drive up and go cuddle Hana. We gonna get this lonely out. I don't care if she don't want to cuddle with me. We gotta put consent to the side for a second. And she's making faces. She knows she wants to cuddle with me. That's the sick part.
Okay, I have a dismissive attachment style, so...
I don't care what you have. It's what we have.
Oh. Okay. Anywho, so Strick ends up...
Oh, yeah, she calls him Strick, by the way.
Calls him Strick, yeah. But he ends up ghosting her, and she is embarrassed. She's like, yeah.
It is embarrassing.
Yeah.
Falling in love with a man you've never seen over email. Yeah. Like, how do you explain that to anybody?
Nobody. And you know what? She never explained it to anybody. Because even 5 months later passed after that whole email correspondence between the two. And she's at, I think, her sister's engagement party or some sort of party. And by this time, she tells us that, you know, she didn't tell anybody because she's so embarrassed of what has happened.
She did tell her sister she was dating somebody just because yes. she wanted them off her back. But she didn't say, like, how she met this person. I think also an important detail is that Strick mentioned to us that his book got sold to a publisher through his new agent, which is his friend. And he was telling her, hinting, like, I might be coming to New York. So.
Yeah. So if anybody here is following along with Adelia and I, you're catching the drift. Do you see where the story is heading?
You picking up what we're putting down? Yeah. This is such a great story, guys. Like, please.
Girl, I inhaled this book in a day. Yeah.
And I love the cover. I know I say this every time, a beautiful cover.
Beautiful cover. I love seeing it on my shelf with the other sisters. It is just such a joy. Reading is such a joy, you guys. It just is. And also, I love the fact that all these books are written in third person. Thank you, God. I know some of you all like the, you know, change of POVs, and that's cute, but I'm a third person type of girl.
I don't mind either.
I prefer it just because there's just more character analysis.
Oh, yeah,
because
it's like this omnipotent. Yeah,
it's overarching. And I like the fact that every character is talked about in detail versus just one character versus another. It sometimes gives me anxiety when we move one person to the next. I'm like, please, more.
Okay, so back to the book. So she's embarrassed, as she should be, and she's still stuck at this dead-end job with her boss, Edith. Edith is, like, the worst person ever. Like, I would have quit. I couldn't do it. Like, Edith, I would soon rather go back to customer service than work for Edith. Because not only is Edith a grouchy old lady who doesn't sound like she gained her position in publishing, she just nepotized her way to the spot. She also is stuck in her old way. She doesn't know how to use email. She doesn't know, like, she doesn't want to read books that will sell or edit books that will sell. She's very focused on, like, these niche things that nobody really wants to read and or cares about. And on top of that, she is so dependent on poor Lily that she doesn't actually offer Lily any kind of aid or, like, development that is needed for her to push her career to become a publisher or an editor for herself. Like, I think at one point she says most people in her position had already gotten promoted and she was still there with Edith. And the sick part of it is Edith blames her. Even though Edith will tell her to do stupid tasks, doesn't have any boundaries, will call day, night, afternoon, midnight. Like, I hate Edith. I really do. I thought she actually got... Yeah. She should cuss her out a little bit.
And this whole paying your dues, I think, Louie, you paid yours. I think you paid them the first week you worked with her, to be honest.
Most people don't even work with Edith.
Listen, and I think it's just because she really, really wants to get into this publication, children's publication, and she's staying, I think, for a reason, just to try and see if something, a network, anything that can come her way that could boost her and open. You know, honestly, all it takes is just that one crack in the door for you to make it to the other end. So sometimes when you're in positions like that, you're thinking, okay, maybe today. The unfortunate part is that Edith works her so hard that she can't even read other books or in time with, you know, learning and networking with other people because she's so focused, because Edith is just calling her at 3 a.m. saying, how do I attach this file? I don't know, girl. You have to Google at this point. Like, I'm sorry.
Edith one time call her to come to dinner because she forgot the pen that she uses to, like,
sign documents? How about the one time she told her, she told Lily to go print out the emails. Print out emails?
Edith.
You know, some people, I've read books where I know they're for sure a waste of paper, but printing out emails? That's ridiculous. Anywho. Okay, sorry. So she's embarrassed, but she's at this party. But her sister, since she's getting engaged, said, like, girl, you are not showing up at this wedding without somebody on your arm. I need you to find someone. Let me set you up. Her sister is constantly trying to set her up, and she doesn't want it because every time her sister sets her up with somebody, they're either like just so into fashion, and she's not really, that's not her type. Her type is the man that she was speaking to on the emails, but he's not around anymore for now. And so she's like, nah, not this girl, like, leave me alone. But she just like, no, you have to bring someone. She's like, I will bring someone. So they come up with this deal, and I love it when y'all do this. So they come up with this deal, which is like, you have to bring someone to the wedding. And she's like, yeah, bet, I will. But now how Lily's gonna find somebody, we don't know. Now here comes the most important interaction. I don't know how it happens, because she lives in the building, right? She has noticed that there's a fine ass neighbor in the building. She doesn't know his name yet, but every time she hops in the elevator, she just smells his chest and says, who the hell is that? And he's always holding a book. He likes books, I like books.
It's a match made in book talk heaven.
Ooh. Some people are writing my dreams down. Anyway, so
I hear it.
So yes, so there's one situation where she hops into the elevator, fine ass neighbor is in there. We don't know his name yet, but also Henry, who is another person who lives on the floor, I believe, is there too. Henry and fine ass neighbor are friends, and fine ass neighbor starts giving Henry some piece of advice of how he can go get this other girl, Yolanda, who lives in the same building. I love it when y'all in the building.
Girl, this is a grown woman.
Okay.
Miss Yolanda.
Yes. All right. Miss Yolanda. My apologies, ma'am. And so he's giving her advice, and Lily's listening. She's like, wow, like, he's really confident. He smells so good.
And I feel so attached to him, and I don't know why. And I was like,
home. That's right, girl. He feels like home. Anywho, so he helps Henry out, and Henry's like, yeah, you know, you're right. Let me put my big panties on and go and tell Yolanda, hey, girl, I like you. I want us to go out. I want us to be together. And then Lily is so awkward. Every time she's in the elevator with this man, she does a thing where I sometimes do when I'm in like a fast food restaurant. When I say enjoy your food, I say, yeah, you too.
Oof, yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God. What do you mean, you too? And you came in backtrack. It's just like, just go. Just roll with it. Leave. So she's that kind of awkward. But at some point, she says, like, no, I have to talk to him. So there's a situation where they were in the elevator together. And so she asks, like, hey, hi. And they have a conversation. She introduces himself. He introduces himself. They talk about the books they like. Seems like they have a lot in common. They both like authors I don't know. I'm not really into the fantasy genre. Well, unless I'm not into it, but I don't know much of it.
So I know so little that I just assumed they were all fake in the book.
Oh.
Are they real?
Girl, I don't know.
That's how little I know. They could be real, and I wouldn't have a clue. Sorry to those people.
Yeah. I had no idea, but I'm happy for my lovers because they have a lot in common. And I think there was a particular book that she has in her apartment. And I guess he wants to borrow it at some point. She's like, yeah, like, I have it. Like, do you want to, like, you know, I can give it to you. But just tell me if I'm jumping in or not, because your face is looking at me like I'm skipped something.
No, I'm trying to remember it as well. I'm trying to, like.
This is interaction.
Yeah.
So he goes to her place, and, you know, she's like, well, if I have to first feed my cat. He's like, okay, cool, yeah. You know, the little thing. He seems reluctant, which tells us that he could be afraid of cats.
Wait, there's something. Okay, because at this point, you're like, okay, they're finally having a conversation, and she has to reveal some things about herself, as he does. So he says, my name is Nick, and she says, my name is Lily. And his face goes, oh. Like, but he's like, but Lily's such a common name, right?
Where?
Lily? Lily's a very common name.
Madeline's a more common name.
Anyway, so ignoring Hana, so then now he goes into the apartment and she's like, I have to feed my cat, and he stands still because he's afraid of cats, like somebody else we know. And then she says, oh, yes. Tomcat's not, like, gonna harm you. Tomcat is the name of the cat. And his face again is like...
He's like Italian now. He's like, okay, cool.
Yeah, it's getting more than a coinky dinky. And so now... At some point, they kiss, like, the tension. They keep saying, the both of them, they keep feeling something between them. It's, like, instantaneous. It's like they know each other already. And so then they kiss and then pull away. And I think she went to go change or something. And he goes and looks at the bookshelf. And, of course, the Elves of Peridon is sitting there.
Saradon.
The Elves of Saradon.
I'm going to take a tally for you, too.
Is sitting on the damn bookshelf. And, oh, and she's also like, oh, yeah, my sister's a stylist. And, like, she shared these details. So now he's like, oh, no. Oh, no. It's the girl I ghosted. This is Lily. What are the odds that she lives next to me? Like, that is insane. And he kind of, he's like, I gotta go. He's like, I'm sorry. I think I don't want to actually get in a relationship right now. I don't want to date. I don't want to do anything. Like, oh, because she's like, be my date to my sister's wedding. Like, she just bursts out. He's like, I can't do that. Like, I can't date you. I can't even be your wedding date. Like, I can't do that. Then she's like, well, if you're not going to be my date, you have to help me get a date.
No, generally speaking, what do you mean you have to help me?
I get it.
I think to the point where, doesn't she follow? He runs out like a coward. She chases this man outside. He's going to IKEA, I believe. She jumps to the taxi to say, we are going to find. Yeah, come over here, go to IKEA to get a bed frame.
That all happened together? Okay, yeah. So, yes, because in the previous chapters, we're kind of skipping next chapters. But so, yeah, so the book gets picked up by this publishing house, the same publishing house that Lily works for. So, but of course they work on he's in fantasy and she's in whatever the hell Edith reads.
Fiction, some boring dictators.
Yeah. So they don't see each other. However, N.R. Strickland, that is his pseudonym for his books, gets picked up. They gets republished in the US and it's a huge deal. It already has an HBO deal on the line and he's been paid for 2 advances for 2 books.
Come on.
Like, for a book about black elves, okay?
Which is great. I'm assuming it's like Game of Thrones in this case.
Yes. So at this point, he's like, okay, he's moved to New York, but he's also done something. He purposely moved to this, is it Brooklyn or is it Manhattan? This corner of Manhattan by Union Square because he remembers Lily saying that she lives around there, and like,
so he set himself up.
He did. But anyway, so Marcus is his best friend from university.
Marcus is best friend and his publisher.
His publisher. So Marcus is married to this man who's an interior designer, and they took him out for pancakes. This is how he meets Lily, because he's leaving Yolanda's place and he thinks that he might have slept with Yolanda, but he just got drunk and took his clothes off. Like,
no, girl, can I tell someone when I was reading that? I said, no, Nick.
I was like, oh, you're a real trifling. First you ghost girl, like, and now you're sleeping with your...
It's irredeemable. I'm sorry. You have to go to hell for that one.
Yeah, but he was redeemed. And his friends are basically telling, unfortunately, I guess he comes from a background where, like, his father is, like, a known scammer/thief.
Cheater.
And his mom has spent most, if not all of her life chasing after him because, you know, she's one of those women who thinks that because she didn't have a father, he would benefit from having his dad around or whatever of his dad he could have around, and it caused a lot of instability, and he doesn't really go home, talk to his parents too much. Even his choice to have a pseudonym is because he doesn't want his father to find out, and then he gets money and then his dad comes asking him for money. Because I think at this point he doesn't know if he'll be able to say no. So, and he made this when he was like 21 as well. But now with this advancement, HBO's on the door, He got money, okay? And now Marcus and Marcus's husband, I can't remember his name. They're like...
Caleb.
Who?
Caleb.
Caleb were like, can you get a bed? Can you...
Frank.
How about a desk? Something.
How about a lamp? You know, right now Nick is living in an apartment that I assume all 30-year-old men...
20, 30, 40, 50, yeah,
like 60. You guys have a big flat screen TV on the ground and a beanie bag. Yeah. And that's it. And maybe like a 4-in-1 shampoo, conditioner, face gel, lotion.
You'll even do your taxes. But
listen, but you know what? The reason why he's like that is because I think three things. So Bella Dillard spoke about like this, the background that his father, he's afraid that his father's going to find him and he has no choice to like, because you know, kids love their parents, even when they were like abusive. And there's a future chapter where you talk about how there's a scenario that happened when his dad took him out of school for something that was just odd. So there's that. And then it gave him all this like financial trauma. Mm-hmm. Is that the word? Like, very frugal. He's extremely frugal because he's not sure, like, he doesn't want to spend a dime. He's just, yeah,
he thinks like, the other money shoe's gonna drop.
Yeah, because money is such a hard topic for him. And then he also, because he was working for that publishing, that traveler site, there's this idea of like flexibility and just being moved. So I feel like he thinks that this is not permanent. Like, I'm gonna be in New York for this time and then I'm gonna leave for sure. So, and that's why he's
also struggling to write the second book.
He's struggling to make this
so he
book,
thinks they're gonna come back for his coins
in advance before.
Yeah,
so he's like, damn, I at this point, like, I have so much on my plate, including the trauma. I cannot buy a flat screen TV. I have nothing. So yes, so Marcus and his Marcus's fiance,
I thought they were husband? Married.
Oh, okay. Husband is just like, you have to go and buy something. You look like a possum.
Whoa.
Okay. Even a possum has trash around. You don't even have trash. So it's just like, you have to go get something. Please furnish the house. So that's how it lead to like the whole thing of Lily and him going to IKEA and then just, you know, getting to formally introduce each other, get to know each other and stuff as he's looking for a bed frame.
And he's also agreed to help her at this point.
And yes, he has no choice but to help her.
Even though he wants to stay far away from her as possible.
Yeah, he's scared.
He's scared. But but then in IKEA, she has a moment where I think he starts to feel bad. He's like, I got to tell her that I'm N.R. Strickland and I know. Yeah. And she's like, oh, I had an awful experience with this guy and I hate him and I don't ever want to see him. And like, I'm so angry at him. And he's just like...
That will do it.
He said, never mind.
He said,
yeah. Even when she's like, so what do you do for a living? He's like, a few things. Yeah. You know?
I write.
Stuff. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think. And then he even says, oh, yeah, I write for a travel magazine. And I was like, Lily, make the connection. Lily! Yeah,
at that point, I would have been like, N-R-A-N, street. I'm the guy from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia
with the board. No, I would have been like, are you N.R. Strickland? Like, just tell me yes or no.
Yeah, and then end it. But no, Christina Forrest wants to tease and tease and tease. And she does a really good job because even I was just like, no, you have to figure this out. Anywho, so now they've agreed. And so at this point, he says like the best place to find, you know, to meet people is at a bookstore. I know there's a chapter where she goes to the mom's florist to see her mom, and her mom forces her to join these conferences where she has to meet with lawyers. Like, I don't know what these are. I have never been asked to do any of this.
It's a like a mentoring employment kind of career.
Mom, I'm employed.
She said, but, like, really employed. She's like, do you like sleeping on your sister's couch? Oh.
Exactly. So she goes to these things. Yeah. And so, anyway, Nick messages her and says, I have an idea. Let's go to a bookstore. That's the best way to, like, you know, the chance start. Does this come first, or is this the party, the 70s party? Which one comes first?
The 70s party.
The 70s party, then the bookstore?
Yeah.
Are we sure?
Yeah. Because.
Okay. So.
Yeah, it's the 70s party because he's like, Caleb and Marcus are having this party. And then she's like, are there going to be book people there? And then she's like, yeah. So then.
Okay. Perfect. Yes.
That's so when she invites goes into his apartment party. And she's like, oh my God, you live like this?
I too would say the same thing. Again, the flat screen is just there.
He don't even have that. His computer is even late, like sitting on the countertop for the kitchen. Like he don't.
It looks like renderings. You know what I mean? Like this is just an empty space. It's a vision board for like what it could be. This is a mock-up. Rendering, you know what I mean? Crazy. When the city is trying to put up these little signs saying, "Yeah, we're gonna build a condo here. Here's a mock-up of how it's gonna look like." That's what it is.
It doesn't even have a mock-up. It's just empty. So. Anyway, so they start talking. They start, you know, he's texting her like, "I just bought bell bottoms for $150," like, and at the same time we switch perspectives, and at the party, he's like, "Damn, she looked good. She looked."
They're good. Actually matching. Like wearing like goldish. Both of them. She looked like Donna Summer and Donna Summer.
Donna Summers.
I think of Summer.
I thought the East African accent just popped.
No,
it's okay. No,
I don't think you know what a Ugandan accent sounds like.
I said East African.
Oh, so just generic. Okay, you might next time just say African accent.
Well, first of all, because it's not the same, especially since last week I said what I said. I'm not going to repeat what I said because I don't want the people to laugh at me. But about the shaving. But
no, that general. One shocked me.
Please.
That one gave me a fright. Anywho, yes, so she's dressed up in the 70s. They're matchy-matchy, and like Adila said, he said, like, she looked good. Okay, she just looks so good. He just want
to. And he keeps seeing her talking to people, and his heart, like, his blood pressure is like, no, 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 no. And at the same time, Marcus is like, let's go talk for a minute. What I thought was really sweet, he was like, this is the first year I have, he never misses his best friend's birthday. And yeah. I thought that was really sweet. I love when, but again, I know this is written by a woman, but I love when men like have fulfilling relationships, especially because Marcus is a gay black man. I don't know, something about it just like, but I guess they're both misfits in their own way because he's,
yeah,
you know, but this year was the first year he could actually buy him something that he knew that his friend wanted. And he got him this like expensive pen with this planner from this special place that cost, you know, bear guala. And
engraved his like name on it too.
Yeah.
And stuff. It was really thoughtful.
Yeah. So, but Marcus is also like, so how about that book? How about it? And he's like, you know, I have concepts of a plan. he's like, I've written like the first chapter. And he's like, okay, how about we go to brunch and I'll sit and we can talk about this. Mind you, in this process, he's still not told the world he's N.R. Strickland. Marcus talks to his, Marcus is like his manager.
Yeah, Marcus is my manager. And then he has like an editor.
Yes.
Like someone to help out in the end. They never meet. They never meet.
They don't meet Nick.
Yeah. Because so. He doesn't want. He's just safekeeping that identity. He doesn't want anybody to know. He's lied to them that he's English. You know what I mean?
I don't know why. Yeah. Why did they? I think they just assumed he was English because the publishing house was originally English, and the name N.R. Strickland. They were like, oh my god,
it's a bloke.
It's a bloke. He drinks tea and he eats crumpets.
Right.
You eat crumpets, don't you?
I know the English hate it. Hate it when outsiders try and just try.
I don't care. It's fun.
It's fun. It is really fun. They colonize us, so we can colonize your language and the accent, too. Yeah. I really like Marcus. Such a nice suggestion, too, because I think he knows because they've known each other since they were in high school. university, rather.
Yeah, they were roommates first year.
And they befriended each other almost instantly, and he knows everything about Nick. Anywho, I think that's pretty much how the conversation goes.
And he goes like, downstairs. So Lily, huh? And yeah. She's like, oh, she's just my neighbor.
She's my friend.
So then later on, when we switch perspectives again, Lily has spoken to everybody, and everybody there has who's a man has a woman, and that's why they're here. So
that's what party's for.
So then Marcus at some point
go outside and have fun with uptaking people.
That's but what you know what my for. Brother said yesterday? He was like, you know, he's like, the problem with you, he's like, you don't go out, you sit in your room all day, you come home, you go to work, you play Sims, and then he's like, and your Instagram locked, so who's gonna find you? Who's gonna find you? And I was like,
you know what, let me open up my Instagram tonight.
Might have to still. And so then but Marcus goes up to her and is like, oh, okay, like, nice to meet you. Mind you, she's already spoken to Caleb. Caleb loves her vibe. And at one point, Marcus is like, one thing about Nick, like, stick with him. Be patient with him. He takes time to open up, but when he does, like, he's a great person. And she's just like, okay, we're just neighbors. And he's like, yeah, just, you know.
I'm not going to lie to you. If I was meeting someone for the first time, getting to know them, I would hate it if their friend told me, yeah, you know, one thing about him, yeah, you can stop lying today.
I'm the friend who would do that.
I'll find out for myself. Because, you know, like, sometimes, you know, especially, like, I'm sorry, I have to put all men together. Sorry, I don't make the rules.
I think you do here.
I think I do. I don't know. I say, like, you know, it's okay. I'll find out. We'll see. Thank you. And I just move on. I don't take it seriously at all. That's just me, though.
I agree, because men, their friends lie for them all the time.
That's like, why.
They lie for no reason. And I get it, because I would lie for Hana, too. Like, I don't... like, no, but like let's say you were with somebody and you were cheating. Like, first of all, I don't care to get to know my friend's partners, because in my head, you're not gonna be here long. Okay. I barely find the time to learn your name, so I for damn sure don't owe you my loyalty. In the same light, though, I think where men get very sticky with it is because then they start doing, they're like, oh, he loves you. Like, I ain't never seen my man like this before. He loves you. No, why do you know he's been with Jessica, Brenda, Sasha, Malika, like, you know.
Malik and Malik, the twins. Like, we just.
Khadijah. Like, he with Khadijah. Everybody.
Yeah. That's how they do stuff, you know, like they don't snitch on each other. That's
but
my
I
home.
But I trust Marcus because he's a gay man.
Yes, I trust him. Sure. Well, you know, I have to keep reading on.
So you've already read it, but anyways, at this point I trusted
but
Marcus.
At the stage, I didn't know. It's at the stage, I was like, okay.
At this point, I trusted him. So then they leave, and that's when he was like, okay, well, let's try the bookstore. And then that's when they go to the bookstore, and he's like, okay, but she's like, but you can't stand here with me. Like, somebody, people are going to think we're together. Like, you got to go. And then, you know, so he leaves for a little bit to go find her another book from this series that they were talking about, this fantasy author. And this man comes over to say something about said author in a very, like,
in a very snobbish way.
Yes.
Like, he knows better. Oh, look at you. I'm so self-righteous. Oh. I think they get into argument about one of the adult fantasy books. He's just like, I feel like a lot of these adult fantasy books are very whiny characters.
Yeah.
And you know what? Like, I think the book was also, I feel like within that conversation, they were trying to tell people that I think people have a misconception about fantasy books, thinking that it's childish and elementary. Mm-hmm. And so she was just trying to say that it's actually not. Like, it has very deep themes about different stuff. And yes, of course, it's magic. And yes, because they're elves, doesn't mean that they don't have, like, the same, like, concepts that an adult person can understand. So that was pretty much what their argument was. Anyway, she gets heated. She's like, you know what? You can go fuck off. She didn't say that, but you know what I mean? She did in her Lily way.
She definitely also had a moment where she was like, my husband wouldn't talk to me like this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and she was like, no, no, no.
Exactly. He's like, no.
Yeah.
So yeah, then
Nick comes back.
Who buys her a book?
He buys her the book.
Yes. And it's lovely. Just, your date was there the whole time.
They're so cute together. And the whole time I was like, Nicholas, when are you going to tell her who you are? Because, of course, when she finds out,
it's going to be bad. Because, like, look at all this, especially as it continues. I'm just like, you're getting yourself into a very sticky situation.
It's getting sticky. It's a really good song by Tyler, the Creator, Sexy Red and Glorilla.
Yes.
It's getting sticky.
So after the bookstore, is this Thanksgiving? Where are we at now? Ooh-wee. Where are we, Hannah?
A lie? Like, we're just flip-flopping around. I know where our halfway point is.
So we're getting to Thanksgiving when she invites him to the family. What was it?
It's just their parents' birthdays.
No, it was like their anniversary, maybe?
No, they have like the same birthday.
Okay. So are we there yet?
Yeah, so this is so we're about to get to the halfway point or part one. So basically he invites they're coming back from the bookstore and Violet sees them. And mind you, her sisters have kind of heard about like the neighbor. And she's like, oh, so you're the neighbor and you're the Nick in her phone and you're taking up her time. Why don't you come to our parents, anniversary thingy, our birthday dinner. And it's in New Jersey because they live in New Jersey. So then he's like, okay, yeah. And I kept thinking, Nick, for somebody who doesn't want to be involved, you keep doing involved
things. The heart wants what the heart wants. Listen, when you really like somebody, there's no explanation, there's no cause, it's just magnetism. That's what it is. You're the negative, he's the positive, and everywhere you go there's this lingering electricity between you, and anything they want to do you just want to go. It's north and south, like they have to meet. They're aligned, the stars are aligned, and that's why he keeps saying yes.
And even makes cupcakes.
But them to why he makes cupcakes, because he was raised with some sort of decency. You don't show up to people's houses without
empty-handed. I know a lot of you like to do that now.
What
this generation that lacks? Yes, they do.
You guys don't show up to people's houses for the first time without bringing something. Come on now, come on. Even a box of chocolates, because even when I've had no money, I still bring something like a snack for them to have. Like, come on. Anyway, sorry, y'all annoy me. You really do, because it's inappropriate behavior. Whatever happened to empathy across people? We're losing our recipes.
Yes. So then, but back to the recipes.
So yeah, back to the book. He makes his little cupcakes, and Iris decides to pick them up from the train station and then drive all the way.
Fiance's not coming.
So Violet, now we already know about Violet's story. Oh my god, I just had like a dizzy flash. Holy moly. I almost fell into my laptop.
Oh my gosh.
Sorry, y'all. Ugh, iron. Yes, I am on the pills, but I'm also a woman. So Iris is going to pick him up from the train station. Violet's fiance Eddie is not showing up, and we speculate that something's off because he said that he got a new client and he's really busy with her. And my girl, what's her name?
I don't remember the client's name, but I just remembered Violet's the one who found Mila. Her. Yeah, like Mila Cake Baby or something.
Yeah. Yes. From the other book.
Like, yes, Mila Baby.
And she's really upset about it. Violet's just like, oh, how annoying. Like, we're supposed to be getting married soon. Like, you know, like, this is our family event. It's a tradition. Like, why is he not here? She's just annoyed.
Can I say something? In my head, Mila Baby is Ice Spice.
It is. Ice Spice, or who else likes poopy?
Because she says, like, she can't dress at first and, like, not to... it's Ice Spice.
100% Ice Spice. Yes, so drive all the way to New Jersey.
Well, they took the train and then they
Jersey. Yeah, train, and they drive over to the parents' house.
Oh, and the Green Sisters are Potomac fans, just like the rest of us, Housewives of Potomac. And they love the Grand Dame.
Everybody likes the Grand Dame. I don't know why she did all that nonsense. Now
we do not condone the actions of the Grand Dame. Please do not drink and drive, folks.
The thing is, her second DUI. Like, girl.
Mind you, she has a driver, blue eyes.
Well, and... I remember, like, for, like, the Black franchise, Atlanta and Potomac, there was always blue eyes. There was always the African. Like,
in Atlanta, they all date a Nigerian.
They all date Nigerians. Like, it's such a... Portia did it. Phaedra did it. NeNe did it. Shamia. I'm pretty sure the others did it, too, but they wouldn't say anything. But it's just such a thing, man.
Yeah.
If Candy didn't like Todd, she would do it, too.
So, Candy went to Africa for the shaman to tell her about her man.
And that's where she met.
Yeah, in the South African trip.
Man.
Yeah. The bone collector.
The bone charade.
And the thing is, they were laughing, but that's like that's the actual term. Do you remember that movie? Mr. Bones?
Yes, I loved Mr. Bones. I feel like that was the first Mr. Bones. The two Mr. Bones.
Yeah, the number two was not as good. The number two is the one where, like, he goes into the body of the Indian man from Durban.
Yes.
I can't really remember the first one, though, funny enough.
Can I tell something? I think this movie was problematic.
Probably. It was a white man whose parents, an Afrikaner whose parents forgot him in this, like, in a hut or something, like, amongst the real Africans, you know, word to Elon Musk, because he's not African. Sorry, Charlize Theron.
That's true.
And it's like Tarzan. Sorry. Yes. And he becomes the bone collector because, like, he learned witchcraft or to be a shaman. So witchcraft. And so he's running around reading the bones, and it's this white man just... I haven't seen it since I was a kid, though.
Girl, when you saw Mr. Bones, I said, what? Like, my memory. That and The Gods Must Be Crazy.
Yes! I was literally trying to tell my dad about this movie the other day. I was like, Daddy, there's this movie.
Of course he knows about it.
He does. And I was like, there's this movie they made us watch in class. It was, like, supposed to be about stereotypes. Wait. Yes. In grade 11 and 12 here in my Canadian school, we watched The Gods Must Be Crazy. And it was, like, a way of talking about stereotypes associated with certain groups and how that socialization works, and like it was a critique of the film. But yeah,
oh my god, we had ours, and we still do. We have the Gods Must Be Crazy 1 and 2. We still have them on
two. I know there was a two,
two, and we have them on VCR, and we used to watch when, like, I remember my dad bought it. We watched when we were really, really young, and my father, the first time he watched it with us, he was cracking up. It was so stereotypical. We're just like, this is crazy, man. Anyway, I hope he made it home to his child.
Yeah, that was the thing, because they were like, look at this.
My boy was running through that desert. Did you see him? Woo! With that Fanta bottle. I will never forget the Fanta bottle.
I barely remember that one, too. I might have to do a rewatch of all of them. Mr. Bones and the Gods Must Be Crazy.
You guys did that in school.
Yeah. Here, of all places, too.
I'm shocked. I thought it was such a niche, like, title that only, like, a few people would know about it, because it's so, like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's concentrated. Anyway, wow, I'm shocked. I'm shocked. Interesting.
Anyways, okay. Back to the book. So they get to New Jersey. He's nervous. He's wearing his Sunday best. And I guess sort of backtrack to this, as Hannah mentioned, like, he doesn't come from a house of love. Of intense love, the way that the Greens are, like, his dad, like, the moment Hana was talking about is, like, his dad would come and go because he's constantly running from the people he owed money or took money from. And one time he pulled him out of school so he could help rob one of his friends. And at the time, he was, like, 16, and he thought his dad was, like, just wanting to spend the day with him. Because, you know, it doesn't matter how old you get that feeling.
Yeah.
Only for his dad to want him to be a lookout so that the person who he was stealing from wouldn't see him. And when he did, he remembers feeling really icky about it because the person looked so hurt that his dad was doing this. And he also busted his lip. And he just felt very icky and he didn't like it. So that kind of shaped his...
Yeah, it's a core memory. And has left a scar. And that's why, to be honest, he behaves the way he does. Like, it's this, like, non-committal, avoidant, dismissive type of person. But I think with Lily, he's fighting himself. This is a perfect case of someone fighting themselves. Fighting your core beliefs, as my therapist would say. Yo. Therapy's good. And he needs a lot of it.
I think most men need at least like 6 to 7 years worth.
I think men naturally, doesn't matter if you came from a loving household or not, need therapy just because of patriarchy and how they're socialized. Mm-hmm. Like, generally speaking, like it's gonna mess you up in the head.
Maybe if some of you were in therapy, you'd spend less time watching Andrew Tate.
Listen, and then when you send me that TikTok today about the commercial about the kids. Mm-hmm. I was even surprised that the Canadian government was it the Canadian,
it was
Canadian.
Which charity?
Which charity was it called again?
White Something Canada,
funded by.
Girl, I don't know.
Okay. Anyway, whatever. But we are in a huge crisis. The internet with all these violent men like DJ Academics, and all of you passing on the most ridiculous information to young boys. That's why you have Kai doing the stupid shit that he does on Twitch every single day. I listen, you guys find him funny, but there's some things that he does that you have to be very alert. I'm scared of how
he's already done some troubling things, like covering up his friend who sexually assaulted someone at his party.
Yeah,
you know the way that he like. I mean, I can't believe that in big 2025, you guys have launched homophobia, like, in the form of, like, pause and, like, yo, ayo, like, cringy content. Can I tell
you, fair enough, if you are somebody in this day and age who says no homo or pause, you are a fucking degenerate. I don't even know what to call you. You're not even a homo sapien. You're below.
You look like that Russian politician who was on trial, who looks like he escaped from the iceberg, like a whole Neanderthalus.
Because that is so primitive to say that. It's primitive. That's what it is. It's outdated. Like you sound like you're not from here at all. So act like you're from here. Anywho, so yes, Nick is just really taken aback by how loving and, you know, friendly the whole family is because of his height and, you know, and them being black. He's just like, all right, cool. Let's go play basketball with the cousins. They don't even ask him. They say, do you ball?
Like, I mean, naturally. And the thing is, can I sit down and eat
my BBQ?
And the thing is, the girls are... They're doing a fashion show that they do every year. I love when families have traditions. My family's so traditionless. So when they were less, yeah, like they don't have these traditions. So
make one for yours.
Yeah, I'll try. But
yeah, I'll try. Okay, don't do it.
I'll put a little effort. I'll do my thing. So they're getting ready for this fashion show. The theme is like 2000s fashion. I think it's so funny. Like, I find, like, 10 years ago, 2000s fashion was like, oh, cringe. How could you wear these things? And the way it's just fully come back and it's like, no, it's like hip. It's like everything. It's like, if you guys ever, ever, ever bring back peplum in them and try and do that, listen, the children are still alive. We're not going back there.
Can I tell something? If they bring peplum, I might just have to go home and look at my closet. I have a really cute peplum top that Sabrina got, that my sister got for me. Let me not throw her name out there. That my sister got for me. It's so, so cute. I remember I wore it to New York one time and I said, ooh.
I got rid of all of mine.
I'll go fetch it. I will.
I got rid of all of mine. Like, guys, please. I don't want to be buying Pumpkin Now for like $50 from H&M. Like, please.
This one was from, I think this was from Boohoo.
But anyway, so the girls are going to do that. He's hanging with the boys, and the boys are like, the cousins are like, so you're not dating Lily? And he's like, no, I'm just her neighbor. They're like, yeah, all right. And they're like, first of all, Lily doesn't bring anybody around in all her life. She's never brought a man here. Second of all, the Green Sisters are very hard to date. Lily rejected every single person, every one of our friends when we were in high school. And he's like, that's interesting, because Lily had told her that none of the boys had ever been interested in her, and that oftentimes they felt like her sister's sloppy seconds, because once they realized they couldn't have Violet, they're like, well, what's the next best thing?
All right.
After they're done playing basketball, the girls come out, Iris and her daughter come out, and then like they're just looking very, you know, I think Lily was wearing like the dress was the one like Beyonce wore to TRL. Was that it?
What?
You know the dress that Beyonce wore to TRL with Jay-Z when they...
The exact same dress?
It was, like, inspired by...
Oh. Na-na-na. Let me see. So, he wondered if he could ever look at Lily and not feel like he'd been struck by lightning. By the way, Christina Forrest, I know we had quotes. I'm sorry, girl, but I loved every word that you put in this book. Every single word.
Amazing writer.
She looked like Queen Bee herself. Yeah. So you're right. Inspired by none other than Beyonce.
Yeah.
I don't know where you got TRL from. I don't think they said specifically.
Because I knew the exact look they were talking about in the book. Do you know? Yes.
And TRL says here.
Yes. Because I knew it before they even said TRL. Yeah, the with the Tims, the heel Tims, and and I was like, oh, she is so, my sister is finished. She's so in love with that man.
Yeah.
And Jay-Z standing next to her.
It's a fire outfit. Let me see if I can buy it online.
Girl. Mind you, we're recording. Like, please. So then anyways. Okay. So he's just staring at her like, she's so pretty, she's so everything. And at one point it kind of ends, and they decide, oh, Lily's mom and aunt are like, he handsome, he fine girl. And then they're like, you should stay the night, you guys shouldn't go back to New York tonight. And he's like, okay, we'll stay. They both end up being up at the same time at the night. And he's like, your cousins, they said that you don't bring anybody around, and they said you rejected so many people. They're like, and so she explains again, like, I didn't reject them, I just didn't want my sisters, men who weren't actually attracted to me. Like, she had enough discernment to see that.
Yeah.
And then they just kind of, she's like, want to go hang out in my room? And then this is where I thought it was weird. I was like, oh my God, if this is my house, like, my girl cousin would have been sleeping next to me, like, but the girls all had their own room, like, and everybody else had to sleep somewhere else. Yes. And they go up to the room and they're talking, and then they're kissing.
Yeah. So I want to talk about one important thing that he mentioned here.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
As they were talking, he revealed something really, really intimate, very, very vulnerable about why he thinks he is like destined to be the way he is. Mm-hmm. We're talking about grandfather and like the lineage of men in his family.
Yeah. Who are just dead.
What his grandfather did or did, I said, nah.
I can't remember. What did his granddaddy do?
So granddaddy was selected to go to war. Went with his best friend, right?
Right.
And best friend had a girl back home, Ernestine or some sort, right? And when he couldn't do it anymore, I think like he shot himself in the foot or something. He's just like, I can't do it. I can't.
I get it.
And I'm not going to lie to you. If I wasn't.
I would do the same.
If y'all put me in the Korean War, I will be shooting my foot, amputate, and take me home. Okay. I don't care if I'm going to nothing. Take me home. So his friend stays there, but he manages to get flown out back home When he goes home, he goes looks for Ernestine, his best friend's girl, hooks up with her, telling her, oh, you know, this and that, whatever. Best friend comes back from the war saying, what the fuck, man? Like, you slept with my girl? He's just like, hey, man, what can I say? You were not around. My girl gets pregnant, and that's how they gave birth to Nick's father.
And then Nick's father is Nick's father.
Exactly. He was supposed to be a basketball player. He, like, all of them.
He got injured.
Yeah.
And then his life stopped.
And his life stopped.
And this is why I have a personal campaign.
Thank you, Dula. Here comes your speech. Go ahead.
No, I've been saying this. I really think there is something to be said about teaching young Black boys there is more to life than to dribble a ball, shoot a ball, throw it. Like, you like, not to sound like Obama, like, we have to, like, because he said this one time, and I low-key hate Obama, but, like, really and truly, you guys are, you are capable of other things. And I'm not even saying don't tell them to want to strive to go into the NBA, NFL, football, like, whatever. But the percentages of people who do it are so tiny. And I know it takes a lot of dedication, but you have to have a backup plan. What else are you good at, baby? Like, you like numbers? Let's do accounting. You know, you want to build things? Architecture. Urban planning? You know, teaching. Like, something else that, like, you can do. Because when this thing comes crashing, I think something similar happened to Xavier in the partner plot, right? Yes, when he realized he couldn't play anymore, he became depressed and didn't think he was worthy of anything. God willing, he found teaching, and a lot of them, that's what happened in real life as well. But, like, what else is there? I mean, even if you want to stay in the world of sports, like, there's sports analysts. What does it take to be a sports analyst? You know, there is a lot of these people need people to manage their sports money.
Marketing, you guys don't know, like, marketing, they need you guys, they do. Because look at how many ads you guys see and you hate them. Yeah, you can make better ones, I'm pretty sure.
Agents, you know,
it goes back to that same, like, that saying when they say, like, shoot for the moon. If you don't, like, fall in the stars, find the stars, you guys. If you make it to the moon, God bless you. You're very lucky. But if not, find the stars. And there are multiple stars, right? Yeah, there's so much you can do.
You have to think about it. Because, like, for instance, basketball, like Xavier was in, there's only 32 teams in the NBA. The National Basketball Association is the highest level of team basketball you can go in the world. There's only 32 teams on each spot. I think there's 16 spots. There's about 132 players in the whole NBA. Do you know how many people are playing on the NCAA level? Then you go Division II. Then you think about the JUCOs. Like, hello? I learned all of this from Last Chance You, by the way. Then talk less of football. American football has even less than that. And the average footballer only lasts in the league 5 years.
Yeah.
And most of them, and their contracts are even more nefarious than anything I've seen. They don't have insurance for a long time. Like, they go broke quick. You have to come up with something else. You just have to. So.
Yep.
You end up stealing from your friends.
It's maths. It's all maths, y'all. Look at the math.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the chances of you... We don't know. That's why you have to build something else at the same time, because you can play again. Like, it's also just that the physical need of your body, anything can go wrong. And when you're playing at that level where I feel like you're constantly training, you're constantly playing, like, you're training and playing friendly games as well. And then it's not just like the seasons. Then you have, you know, if you're good enough, there's the Olympics. You know what I mean? There are these other things that you're doing, the different tournaments you're doing as well. Like, it's a lot on the body, and you can't keep it up to some degree. You just can't.
Listen, Jalen Hurst has a master's, okay? I just want you guys to know that.
That'll be useful. And because, you know, there's this other person I saw on Jimmy Fallon the other day. He teaches at Harvard as well.
First of all, Jalen Brown, I'm glad that he thinks he's smart. Not that I don't think Jalen Brown is intelligent, but Jalen Brown also was part of, like, the whole Kyrie Irving brigade of Black men who, yeah. That's all I have to say about that. So when Jalen Brown, like, is like, yeah, I teach courses at MIT and Harvard. Yeah, you lectured one or two times. I also lectured as a master's student, okay? Like, I did one or two special lectures. But I don't respect some of Jalen Brown's politics. I don't think he's as intelligent as he deems himself. I just met
that man last night on my phone, okay. So I don't know much about him.
I think he went to an Ivy League school. Like, that's where he was drafted from. I can't remember which one. Like, he definitely is book smart.
Jalen Bronson.
Not Jalen Bronson.
This one's scary looking. Jalen Brown, you say? Don't
do Jalen Brunson like that, yeah.
Yeah, you know, he plays for the Celtics,
Even worse.
Okay, so he went to which Ivy League?
One second.
University of California, Berkeley, that's not Ivy
League. Berkeley was a... Okay, but you know, Berkeley is a very well-respected school, not for sports, even though Troy Bolton also went there to play basketball and also be saying...
Stop it. Okay, so, yes, but he tells her all that, and she's just like, I'm so sorry, and you know, like, honestly, when you're in the bed with somebody and they're confessing all that stuff to you, you just feel so close. Before Tiana Taylor and Iman embarrassed Tiana Taylor, remember the time they were doing that little GQ talk and just like, see, I feel close to you, girl. I just feel so close to you. That's how I felt. I was like, yeah, you know, I'm close to you. Now, open up. That's right. Look down your walls. Let me in. Let me in. Anywho, so she's like, I'm so sorry that happened. He's like, yeah, you know, like, that's why I have this, like, you know. Mm-hmm. And see towards like my family and stuff. He's like, okay, cool, whatever. Anyway, now they're staring at each other and they get to the kissing and stuff. Now this is what I hate.
Freaking Violet's texting because she had to leave because she had a flight, talking about Tomcat keeps meowing. What should I do? Tell Tomcat to be quiet.
If a cat's meowing, let them meow.
Like,
all you can do is pick up the cat, put him in the bathroom and do your thing, man. Like, cats are not like dogs. They'll just scratch the wall and they'll get tired eventually and go to sleep. Anywho, so that's what they had to stop doing what they were doing.
Yeah.
And my boy was just like, I'm so sorry, Lily. There's nothing in the world I want more than this, but I can't. She's like, okay. She's like, I get it. I get it. Yeah. Yeah. She's like, yeah, whatever. And this is what I don't like as well. Nick leaves first thing in the morning without telling anyone.
She's like, okay.
The point, I'm just like, okay.
Bye. This is where we're going to end for today, by the way. Because then it...
Yeah.
But he's just so, like, he runs. He's always running.
Always running away.
And I hate that for him, and I hate that for me. And I hate that for my girl, Lily.
And this is the second time they have made out to this... Yeah, like... At this point, I'll be so confused.
They did more than made out this time, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, yeah. Yes. There's a lot of touchy. But yeah, he ran out and Lily's just like, yeah, I get it, whatever. Bye. Anywho. Okay. You guys, I love this book. Even right now, just reminiscing on those nights when I was in my bed with my little lamp, and I remember, like, it was like late at night. It was like 2 a.m. and I said, fuck it, man. Who cares about that job? Read.
I was listening to it at work and I was like, in my cubicle, like,
I have 10 more weeks left and I'll get my audiobook. Thank you, Libby. Thank you to the public library system. It's okay. You know what I mean? I don't mind. I just cannot wait for it to hop in, and I can't wait to go to my favorite chapters, because you told me the narrator is really good, so I cannot wait.
Yeah, very well done.
But yeah, you guys, that is the first half of The Neighbor Favor by Christina Forrest. As you can see, we love it. We absolutely love it. And I know we didn't get down into like the writing of different quotes, and I'm pretty sure Delia had a bunch of quotes that I did too. But the writing is so cute. Every time they're describing each other, it's just the heart. Oh my god, it makes my heart ache. And yeah, there are no notes, man. Like, this is just—it's just a really good book.
No, it was so good. Every time he was like, "Oh, and she doesn't know," I was like, "Oh, Nick, just tell it!" Like, I was literally yelling, like, in the air.
I'm strict.
His window of opportunity to do that ended the first day. Like, he had the smallest window to do that. And after it was gone.
Because now in my head, I'll think, oh, so you did all this to try and make me fall in love with you. And then you're going to tell me that you're the guy who ghosted me about like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. When he tries to get her back, my boy said, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We'll try. Anyway, we're going to stop there for now.
Yes.
See, my mood just instantly.
Yeah, definitely the best book I've read this year so far.
100%. That's my heroine. Yeah. Oh my god, I can't wait to do our end of year.
Okay, with that being said, guys, we're going to see you next week to wrap up this book. Tell us how you feel about the Your Favorite. If you've started Lyrics Love, let us know. Don't spoil anything yet.
Okay. That's my vacation book.
Same. And you can tell us about it, though, on all our socials, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and even here in the comments on YouTube at Romantically Lit. If you're seeing us, hi. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Hit that follow button. You can also email us at romanticallylit@gmail.com. We're always looking for new comments, suggestions for books to read. Of course, they have to be Black romance. We let a few slip in with non-Black people, but they can't be
non-Black people? That's not true. We've
yes, we always did. With love, Miss Americana.
Listen, that boy is from my native land, Brazil, so he can stay.
Honestly, he mestizo, okay? But he ain't Black.
Yeah. Oh, fair. You know what? I wouldn't say, but to be honest, I think it still kept some of the themes of a Black girl
yes, being absolutely.
Up. So it's fine. You know what I mean? Sometimes we gotta dabble into the lighter shades. Is that two biracials?
They're Black. The funniest part about it is that their race never came up. Granted, I don't think
their race kind of came up with one of them. The other one barely touched it. It was just like, you're supposed to give me characters for me not to absorb and then understand that these people here are biracial. And on that Black History Month note, happy Black History
Month, and we hope you had a good Valentine's Day. Oh, and if you can't, tell us about it, because we didn't have plans, so you tell us how yours went.
What the hell?
We do not.
I'll tell you after we're done. Okay. Anywho, thank you guys so much. We know we love ya to bits. Let's make it harder, Julia.
Other way. Just comes
no
on my screen,
on your screen. No, my screen is this okay, way.
Whatever, man.
Goodbye.
Bye.